thankful that we have seen this day so far. God gave us a good night's rest, hopefully, for all of you, and woke up this morning ready to worship the Lord. Amen? Amen and amen. So I want to welcome those who may be here and not members of the Church of Christ and let you know y'all very honored guests. We appreciate having you in our audience or listening to us via the other mediums we had, such as Facebook or YouTube or even a conference call. Thank you for being on our call. We pray you will be saved. Amen. Want to be saved and obey the gospel. And you do that by believing that Jesus hung, bled, and died on the cross. Amen. Shed his blood and wash your sins away in that same blood, purchase his church. The only church you ever read about in the Bible, that is the Church of Christ. And you must be baptized for the remission of your sins. And then the Lord then will add you to that church. And there you must live faithful unto death to be saved. Now, you got to pay attention to details. This morning, in this lesson I'm going to do, is the Lord your shepherd. So I want to say the Hollow Heights this week marks 15 years of ministry of this congregation. And it's been a journey. Amen.
It has.
Praise the mighty name of Jesus. But such is life. If everything went well all the time in life, we wouldn't appreciate God. Amen. So we got the highs and the lows and the valleys and the mountains will come in our lives, whether we want them or not. Amen. So we have to deal with what comes with life. Is that right?
That's right.
All right. So now, I talked about being a servant last week and showed that Jesus was the greatest servant of all. Is that right?
That's right.
And this week, I want to look at Jesus as our shepherd. Our shepherd. And we understand who we are as sheep. And that we can never appreciate Jesus as our shepherd. We don't understand what it is to be a sheep. And so Jesus, when he came to this world to give his life, as we read in John chapter 10 here, he was known as the good shepherd. And that's what he said, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd give his life for the sheep. Is that what he said?
That's what he said.
So he's recognized he's the shepherd, good shepherd. Now, in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20, the Bible refers to him as the great shepherd of the sheep. When he came, he was the good shepherd. When he died and resurrected from the grave, he is referred to as the great shepherd. Now, when he returned, according to the Bible and 1 Peter 5:4, Peter says, when the chief shepherd shall appear. So he's a good shepherd when he came. Great shepherd when he resurrected. He's going to be what?
The chief shepherd
when he comes back.
Amen.
So now the question becomes, the sermon title in the form of course, is the Lord your shepherd? Now, I'm praying this morning, if he's not your shepherd, you'll leave with him as your shepherd. Or if he is your shepherd, you'll more appreciate what it is, why he's the shepherd, and appreciate what it is to have him as your shepherd. So there are benefits of Jesus being our shepherd, and David records that in Psalms the 23rd division, which we most of us can probably quote. Is that right? From Psalm the 23rd division, in verse 1, the Bible said what? The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. You can quote it with me too. He making me to what?
Lie down
in green paths. He leading me
beside
the still water. Now, this is David talking about the Lord as his shepherd. Here's what he's doing for him. He restored
my soul.
A soul. What?
He leads me in
the path of righteousness for his name's sake.
Yea, though I walk
through the valley of the shadow of death,
I will fear no evil.
For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff,
they comfort me.
Thou preparest a table
before me,
in the presence of mine enemies,
thou anointest my head with oil,
my cup runneth over. Then he says, surely,
goodness and mercy
shall follow me all the days of my life. And what did he say?
And I will dwell
in the house of the Lord forever.
The 23rd Psalm is written by David, and David knew what it was to be a shepherd. Amen. David understood how to take care of sheep. Now, most of us don't know nothing about no sheep. Amen. Now, I eat cows and pigs. I don't eat sheep meat very much, but they eat a lot of sheep meat. But David was a young boy, so you need to know a little bit about him before you get into, and we want to get but three verses of some. Part two will come next week. That's how detailed this is. So if you're taking notes, take notes of the details. Number one, to understand the psalmist and David, what David is writing is to understand who David was. Why David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." See, David was a keeper of the sheep. David was a keeper of his father's sheep. So David understood what it was to be a shepherd. And he speaks in 1 Samuel 17 how he slew a lion and a bear in defense of his father's sheep. Y'all remember that? So David understood what was required to be a shepherd and how to take care of the sheep. Now, that's number one. You got to understand what it is to be a shepherd and the importance of a shepherd. Number two, look at the duty of the shepherd. The shepherd was one who took care of the sheep, tended to the sheep, and he was solely responsible for the well-being of the sheep. Now, the shepherd made sure that the sheep were protected from hurt, harm, and danger, and all their foods and needs to survival was taken care of by the shepherd. It was no way possible, listen carefully, for a sheep to survive in a pasture without the shepherd's oversight. Now, we must understand what it is to be a sheep. So you got to understand what it is to be a shepherd, understand the shepherd's duty, and then we understand what it is to be a sheep. Now, sheep were valuable animals back then for them, for the shepherd, because they provided them, the family, food and clothing that came from the sheep, raising up the sheep. However, by nature, sheep were helpless animals. They were totally dependent. Listen carefully. The sheep was 100% totally dependent on the shepherd to survive. Amen. So they needed the shepherd to lead them, not drive them, to lead them to water, to food, and to protect them from the wolf. Y'all got it?
Amen.
All right, so now, with this in mind, let's break down the 23rd Psalms to understand and not just quote it, okay? Okay, y'all ready? So number one, he said, the Lord is what?
My shepherd.
My personal. So David saw the Lord as his shepherd, which means David saw himself as the what?
Sheep.
Sheep, that's it, got it. So David then recognized that he was the one who was the sheep and he had to have a shepherd. Now, David realized that he was totally dependent on the Lord to take care of him. Y'all understand that? Now, he was totally dependent on the Lord to survive. He was totally dependent on his Lord to eat, and to drink. But David speaks with appreciation and gratitude because he said, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, all of us understand that we too must identify with Jesus as our personal
shepherd.
Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to try to apply everything as we go. Now, what does this mean? When Jesus is my shepherd, I can be content in life. Amen. When Jesus is my shepherd, I don't have to worry about myself because he gonna take care of all my what? Needs. Y'all got it? So now Jesus said in Matthew 6:31, therefore take no thought saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or whether shall we be clothed? For after these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father know that you have no need, have need of all these things. But he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So somebody here today need to understand today, maybe you're worrying about life, job, food, clothing, things like this. Maybe it's because the Lord is not your shepherd. Maybe that
that's what's going on with you. And you need to understand that you need the Lord to be your shepherd. You can't make it. We can't. None of us can make it in this Christian life without the Lord as our shepherd. Amen, somebody. You understand? You may get old in life, but you can't get to heaven without Jesus as your shepherd. So why is he this great shepherd? What's the purpose of him taking care of the sheep? Now watch what David said. Now look at what he do. And he said, I shall not what?
Won't.
So there's nothing in life that we should want for spiritually as long as we know Jesus is our what? Shepherd. Got it. As long as we know he's our shepherd, we shall not
won't.
He say should not want.
That's right.
He says shall not want. There's nothing missing when Jesus is your shepherd in your spiritual life. How many of you can say the Lord is my shepherd?
Amen.
So I ask the question, is the Lord your shepherd? Amen. It's because if the Lord is not your shepherd, you are doomed spiritually. Understand that. You will be in want. Now, number two, verse two. Look at what he say.
He maketh me to
that
lie
naked.
Down.
See that? That continuation. He maketh me to lie down where?
In green pasture.
Now what does this mean? He maketh me to lie down in what kind of pastures?
Green
pasture. First we have to understand sheep. Now they are strange animals. There are four requirements that the shepherd must meet in order for the sheep to lay down and rest. In order for the sheep to get sleep, they must be free of all fear of death. Y'all missed it. See, the application comes back up. See, some of us fear death. Right? Because the Lord is not your shepherd. So as Christians, we shouldn't fear dying. Because we believe after death is a better life.
Amen.
We may fear how we gonna die, but not fear death. So when the Lord is our shepherd, that we understand, I'm already making application, but let me give you the back, get back to the sheep. They have to be free of fear of death. And the only way they was free of fear is that when they lay down to rest, they had to know that the shepherd was watching.
Amen.
Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
Y'all gonna be all right this morning.
Yes, we are.
Now, this is a good lesson.
Yes, it is.
It's a good detail. This is called detailed study of a text. The smart people call it exegetical or expository preaching. Now, but I'm exposing the text for what it's meaning, this meaning really. That was for the ministerial class. Because I tell them don't use big words. But they must be free, number two. Number one, they must be free of what? Fear. The sheep must be free from friction or agitation to rest. They must be free from pests like parasites or flies. You know how flies annoy you? They must be free, the sheep must be free from hunger. And they must be full in order to rest, like some of us. That's why we got fat. Eating at night, going to sleep on a full stomach. Boy, you sleep good after you eat, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Sure, dude. I know he talking about yes, sir. He sure know. Anthony said yes, sir. Now, we will see all of these requirements met in this text and applies to us. They all apply to us. We are the sheep, and Christ is our shepherd, and our shepherd must lead us to green pastures in order to meet the need of the hunger. Now, sheep do not rest or sleep until their stomachs are full. So the shepherd continues to find green what?
Pastures.
Pastures. See, you can't take the sheep in a dead pasture. You got to take them where the green grass is at. So the shepherd must lead them to green pastures or to meet the need of their hunger. Now sheep, do not eat They will eat in the same place. I'm going to get to that point. They'll eat in the same place if they don't have green grass. So, how does this apply to us? We cannot rest, relax, and sleep if we're troubled all the time. Right. How many of y'all lost sleep because of stuff going on in your life?
Amen.
I'm one of them. How many of y'all can be honest and say you have some trouble in your life because you lose sleep?
Amen.
Phone call.
Yes, sir.
Somebody send you a note. Somebody say something to just cause you to disturb you.
Yeah.
Life can be disturbing. Sicknesses. Notifications of sorrow for things going on in your life can cause you to miss sleep. Sicknesses, marriages, relationships, addiction, church work, dealing with sin can be very troubling. Can it? Isn't it? It can be very troubling dealing with something you know is wrong. It's evil. But when Jesus is in your life as your shepherd, see, he leads you where? He maketh you to lie down.
In green pasture.
So that's make it. He puts you there. The green pastures are the peace of mind that come with being a child of God. The green pasture is contentment. Everything gonna be all right. See, when we got him that shall, we shall not want. We should be in the point of worrying to the point it's gonna be doom. That's when worrying has gone too far. Because there's a lack of faith when you think everything is doomsday. That the end result of whatever is getting going on in your life is going to end tragically. But when Jesus is your shepherd, you have faith, everything going to be what?
All right.
Somehow the Lord is going to make everything work out all right.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, it doesn't mean we're not going to cry. Doesn't mean we're not going to have concerns. And we can be concerned, and we should be concerned, but we should not be worrying so that we believe the worst is that going to happen. That's how you live a life with no peace.
Amen.
When Jesus is not your shepherd, you can't have a peace of mind. Now, Jesus is a shepherd. He's there always calling, come unto you. Come unto me. That's what the shepherd is saying. Matthew 11:20. Come unto me, all ye that what? Labor and heavy laden. Watch what he says now. And I will give you rest. Green pastures. Or rest. Peace of mind. The devil will disturb us.
Yes, he will.
And he is disturbing us.
Yes.
And he's not going to stop trying to disturb us. But what comforts us is when we look back and look up to Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith.
That's it. Yes.
Somebody ought to say amen this morning, because you ain't be in a better place if the Lord is your shepherd. Thank you, Lord. I need this myself. Because
yes.
Folk will disturb you, man. You know what? You get disturbed. It's disturbing. When you know that someone is trying their best to take you out, or to take you down, or destroy your life, or destroy your marriage, or destroy your family, or destroy your relationships. It's tough, isn't it? But that is nothing but the devil.
Yes, sir.
Understand this, when the Lord is our shepherd, we can focus on positive things. Amen. Why? Because we've going to what? The green
Pastor.
Maybe is there a person in this audience who need rest, who need to know that the Lord is making you to lie down in green pastures? If you don't, you need him to be your shepherd. You need to come to the Lord this morning and let him be your shepherd if you're not a member of the church. If you have not been baptized for the remission of sin. Or if you're a member of the Lord's church and you're disturbed so much. Go back and refocus on who is your shepherd.
Now, one thing about the shepherd, when he leads, the sheep follow. He do not drive them. So the Lord is not going to make us do anything. He leads them. See, those sheep would follow the shepherd, and he would follow them. He didn't make them follow him. He made them lie down.
That's right.
So the command is what to do. Oh, y'all missed that one too. Okay. So that making me to lie down is a command that we follow the shepherd. So the shepherd being Jesus gives us commands to keep us where? In the green pastures. Love your enemy. You see that?
Mm.
Now, if the enemy, if you can't love him, remember last week I was talking about how the worst person in the room was Judas. Right? Y'all remember that?
Mm.
And Jesus was able to love Judas as much as he did Peter. Y'all see that?
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing about Jesus. He knew that he was going to get him killed.
Mm-hmm.
But yet he taught in that lesson of the greatest sermon. Not only was he humble, he left an example that you can even love your enemy. So can I be at peace with somebody who don't like me?
Yes.
Can I be at peace when I know they're throwing darts at me?
Yes, sir.
Well, Jesus was able to do it. So where we are with this is God, he gives us command. He said, love your enemy. And then he said, love your brother. How?
As yourself.
Just like you love your own self. You would do nothing to hurt yourself. Why would you try to hurt your brother or sister?
That's good preaching, brother Brooke.
You're not going to force us to obey his commands. He said this, if you love me, condition, keep my
command.
Got it. So do them sheep love him? Yeah. When they know he's taking them to a green pasture so they can eat and rest. I'm trying to get to heaven. I don't know about you. And the older I get, the less foolishness I want around my life. I don't like craziness and fussing and fighting and folk. That irritates me. There's no joy when you have to deal with that type of stuff. And it should not be so in the church. However, we know the devil's got his seat.
Amen.
But do you think the wolf wasn't around when the sheep was laying down? That really rhymed. Huh? They were right there lurking, hoping and praying that the sheep, the shepherd, would go sleep on his job. Now watch this. He making me to lie down, I'm in verse 2 still, in green pasture, right?
Amen.
Then watch what he says. He talking about who?
The Lord.
The shepherd. He did what?
He leadeth me beside the still waters.
Now what? He said he leadeth me beside the still waters. Now watch this now. This is important to know this. Now sheep have a hard time drinking from rapid running streams, like water running. They couldn't drink for it. It got in their nose, in the nostril to restrict their breathing. Sheep needed water to survive, however. So, because 70% of the body makeup of the sheep was water. Now, so without water, the sheep would get weak and eventually dehydrate and die. So the shepherd would lead them to a place where the water was still and not running. So the shepherd always had to be paying attention to where I'm gonna water my sheep at. Where they gonna be able to drink and quench their thirst. Now, how does this apply to us? In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, Jesus said, blessed are they who do hunger and what? Thirst after what? Righteousness. So you gotta say, Brother Brooks, what is the application? We have to be, know that we have to hunger and we have to what? Thirst after living right. What's right. And maybe someone here this morning, because you're tired of spiritual thirst. You want to be fed. Right? You don't want a bunch of jokes from the pulpit. You need some feeding. Amen, somebody. We need some, I might throw a little humor, but we got to understand, to survive as a Christian, we got to drink. We have to drink water. Jesus said in John chapter 7 and verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst,
let him come unto me and drink.
Where are we going to get the drink at? Jesus said, if you thirsty, come where?
Unto
me.
Me
and drink. He that believed on me, as the scripture says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Where are we going to get our drink at?
The shepherd.
The shepherd says what? Come to me. I'll give you a drink. You know what? One of the appealing things for people who visit the churches of Christ should be that I know if I go to a church of Christ, I'm going to get book, chapter, and verse.
Yeah.
Not a bunch of hoopla, not a bunch of stories and telling people good things that they want to hear, but we're going to get what the Bible has said. What did God say about the matter?
Amen.
That's what matters when it comes to going to heaven. And you can't start out on drinking this heavy stuff. The Bible says you got to have some milk.
That's right.
Peter says in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire what? The sincere, here come, milk of the word, that you may what? Grow.
Right.
Those sheep would not survive. They could not grow to be healthy sheep without drinking. So many people are dying spiritually. They're in church building where people are not feeding them, preachers like myself not feeding them the milk of the word and trying to get them in this deep study stuff. So deep that most people can't get it. You need to be able to understand what thus said the Lord in a very simple, plain manner.
Amen.
That's what matters, you all. Not impressing people with quoting whole chapters and using big terms that you can't get. We need to know, what is the milk telling us? We need a drink from the Lord. We need him to be our living water. Or we have spiritual dehydration. Just like those sheep. If they didn't get the water, they would die. Do you know many members of the Lord's church who are not consistent in their study and their worship services? They're going to die. You can't survive without being fed. And you can't feed yourself. See, everybody think I can pick the Bible up and I can read it and feed myself. It's not designed for you to read and feed. It's not like miracle, bro.
No.
It's designed for you to be taught. It's designed for you to be a student. He gave some prophets, some apostles, some teachers. See what I'm saying? So the mistake most religious people make is they think they can pick up the Bible and teach themselves. You didn't pick up no math book and teach yourself.
Amen.
Did you not have a teacher?
Yes.
Yes, you do. And to grow spiritually, to get to heaven, you're going to have a teacher.
Amen.
Was Jesus a teacher? He was the master teacher.
Yes, sir.
And he didn't leave his apostles alone. He left them the Holy Spirit so they could be continually guided in what they were writing in the Bible. So, to the visitor who may be listening, I urge you to understand, if you're sitting in a church building, they feeding you with a lot of shout stuff and good feeling stuff like T.D. Fake and Joel Osteen do often. People love that. But do you understand? You got to know what God say do, and you got to do what he say do.
Amen.
You just can't feel good about life. You got to see the good. You got to see the bad. You got to be sober thinking, sober vigilant. Why? There's an enemy out there. Who is he, Brother Brooks? The devil. Peter said, the enemy is the devil. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, is like a lion. Seeking to take us down. That's what he's doing, you all. Now, let's go back to Psalms and close this lesson. The part one, or part two will be next week. Now, that was a lot in that part right there, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, look at this. Verse 3.
He restoreth my soul.
What does this mean? What does this mean? All right. You got to understand, when I say a cast sheep, C-A-S-T. Now, I didn't pronounce that properly, I don't think. Cast sheep. A sheep that's cast down. The shepherd watches the pastor, right? And the sheep is all over the pastor, but they see a buzzard or a buzzard circling. He know that he got a sheep that's in the cast down position. And he gonna die. And that buzzard know that he's just waiting for him to die. So because in the cast down position, the sheep is vulnerable, helpless, and easy prey for his enemy. The wolves, the coyotes are seeing him. They paying attention to him. Now, sometimes, get this part. It's the fat sheep. Healthy sheep that's most susceptible to the cast down position. So what's a cast down position? I'll make the application shortly. It is when the sheep lie down in a depression or a hole in the ground. This happens most often when the sheep wanders away from the flock. Y'all already see the application coming, don't you? He rolls over. He gets out there because the shepherd already done put him in green pasture grounds. He done walked ahead of him, made sure with no depression because he knew this can happen. But the sheep lead the flock. There's these depression or holes they can fall into. And when they fall in, they roll over on the side and his feet are no longer on the ground. So he's like this. For those who are on the conference call, I mean, his feet are straight up in the air. Y'all got, he's on his what? Back, and his feet is straight up in the air. Now watch what happens. His center of gravity shifts and he turns on his back and his feet up in the air. When that happens, the sheep starts to panic because they are timid and helpless. They don't know how to get back over on their feet. And as he struggles, his or her full stomach gases start to build up in what they call the rumen of the upper part of his stomach. Also, his heart cannot pump the blood to his legs. And if he stays, he or she stays in this position too long, they will die. All right? Because his heart is not made to pump up like that. Okay. All right? So that's the sheep. The shepherd, seeing the buzz, know I got a sheep that's in trouble. So the shepherd hurriedly finds the sheep in the position, and then he turns him over, straddle on him, rub and massage his legs so that they regain circulation, and then he talks to him and say, what you doing out here anyway? Okay, now I'm talking. Now y'all, yeah, they're coming to us now, right? Now, why did you leave the church? Y'all,
all right.
Don't miss the point. See, your circulation is getting bad right now. Yeah. Now, what are you doing out there back in the world? You back out there doing exactly, you know you don't need to be at this place. You done been here before. I done had to get you up on your feet. Come on now, somebody say it, man. Y'all see the Lord, you just see him. I can just see him standing over that shit. Now, I've been telling you, you one of them, every time I turn around, you move, run around from the flock. I done told you what a green pastor. Now get up and turn him back on. He can't turn himself over.
He gonna gently roll him over. And Isaiah said, all we like sheep have gone astray. Isaiah 53:6. And turn everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on him iniquity of all. Now, my question is today, who in the cast down position this morning? Are you feeling the gas pressures of life building up inside of you? I mean, that means you're on Prozac. What are you on? What are you taking? What kind of medicine are you taking? What's stressing you to that degree? Why are you depressed? Huh? Why are these pressures coming in? Maybe because you haven't decided that I got to have the Lord as my shepherd. At some point you have to decide that, man, these pressures of life gonna keep building. And if I'm not careful, I'm gonna be near spiritual death. Or maybe you are already near spiritual death,
huh?
And this is the sermon that you need to know, that the Lord is talking to you. You down on your back where you used to be. And the Lord, through this message, is trying to massage your mind to say, when you going to get baptized? When you going to become a member of the Lord's church? When are you going to come back to the house? When are you going to start living right? When are you going to stay for Bible class? When are you going to figure out that you can't get to heaven and you can't grow spiritually without me as your shepherd? You on your back again. Say, brother, everything going wrong in my life. Everything going wrong in my marriage. Everything going wrong in my home. Everything going wrong in the church. Everything going wrong.
Huh.
Are you on your back? And all you can see is what's straight up. And when you don't have good blood circulation to your brain, you think like that. Is everything that bad? Y'all ain't got to say, man. I already know I'm talking. I'm talking something right. It's right. It's right. Right. 62 years of living, I can say some things about life as well. So, you know, I remember Brother Foster taught me that. Brother Foster, he said, he told me when I was young, he said, the older you get, the better you're going to pray because you have more experiences.
Amen.
Foster knew what he was talking about. I remember when he was here, last time I heard him preach here, I heard him preach nothing but his life. And he used a book to do it. But he was talking some experience, bro. Right? How many of y'all been on your back before? Can you be honest and say it? I have. I've been on my back, straight feet, straight up in there. Yeah, but you know, I kept coming to the Lord. I never left the church. Amen. I can say that. I'm not saying that as a bragging point. I'm thankful that I had enough Christian living taught to me as a new convert to know the last thing you do is miss church worship. The last thing you do, Bob Adam told me, is to miss Bible class. The last thing you do. And some of you still doing it. You're not going to stop doing it because you on your back.
There you go.
Preach, Brother Brooke. Yeah. Yeah. How many of you feel like every time you try to get up, you find yourself right back where you were? Huh?
Yeah.
I mean, really? Mm. I thought I had kicked that addiction. I thought I had kicked it. I thought I was okay. I thought I got over my anger, man. I thought I was able to manage it now. But soon as something happened between me and my wife, there go my voice. Ah! Man, why are you yelling? I'm sitting right here in front of you. Because you have an anger issue.
Right.
And you feel like you can bully with your loud voice. You have to manage that. You have to be tempered, controlled. Your emotions must stay under control. How you do that, Brother Brooks? Get back up on your feet. You cast down. That's the problem. Now, when he turned that sheep over, really, that represents talking to him and listen. Are you listening to the Lord? He's talking to him when he's on his back. Then he starts saying, "Now, are you going to go back with the other sheep back in there? You ready to go back and get back in there and not come out here anymore?" That means for us, that means he's turning you over to repent. Now, once the blood starts circulating properly, then you stand back up on your feet. You may be a little wobbly for a while. But once things start working good, that's forgiveness.
Amen.
Yeah, I missed it. So when he turn you over, that's repentance. When he stand you back up and say, you get your bearings back, you start getting where you're not wobbly anymore, shook up about your fall. You know how people get shook up? Man, I'm a backslide. I went back. I just hate I did it. I know. But once God say, "I forgive you," you got to forgive yourself.
Amen.
Amen, somebody. You know what? And that's one thing about making mistakes. One thing about it. Folk can bring your mistakes up over and over and over and over. But God doesn't do that. Thank God he's not like that.
Amen.
Once he say, "I forgive you," the Lord say, "I remember your sin no more." I love that. Why can't we be like that? Massage your legs means you get spiritual circulation to make it to heaven. Now remember, this can happen to who? The weak sheep, the fattest, most healthy sheep in the flock can get out of bounds and lose itself. No matter how strong you think you may be, I've been in the church 40 years. Well, why are you acting like that then? The very person who tell you how long they've been in the church is normally the person cutting up. Because you don't have to tell me how long you've been in the church. I can tell by the way you talk, the way you act, why you carry yourself, your discipline, your love. I can tell your experiences as a Christian and the way you live and talk. You don't have to tell us nothing.
Amen.
Let the thing I do and say speak for me.
Amen.
We got a bad problem. I've been doing this for... I had a preacher tell me one time. I was talking about how you baptize that many people. Back when we baptized a bunch of people pre-pandemic. And it's going to happen again. The power's in the gospel, ain't Brother Bruce? The power's in the gospel. That's all. But here's what he said. I said, well, I preach the gospel. I preach the Brother Red, preach the cross. And I preach the gospel. And sometimes most people who don't baptize don't preach the gospel. They don't preach the power's in the gospel. He said, "Son, I don't know what you talking about. I've been preaching 50 years. I said, "Well, why you call me over and ask me how to baptize folk then?"
Yeah, it is.
And Brother Foster was in the meeting. It was a meeting among preachers. And Brother Foster said, hold on, brother. We call this man over here because he doing it. So Brother Foster stood up and said, "Hey, we call him to ask him what he doing. And we need to be listening." But because he had all these years behind the pulpit, he felt like he did it all right. And who was I as a young preacher to come in there and tell him that he was doing it wrong? I didn't tell him he was doing it wrong. I told him what I was doing.
Amen.
That's why I said, y'all call me. I didn't ask to come. No. Just like the Christians who may be wanting to advise. Just because you've been in the church forever doesn't make you right,
right,
about everything. Neither am I right about everything.
Mm.
We have to be receptive to constructive criticism, but we also have to have some optimism, some positivity, some trust in the Lord, some belief, some love, some compassion. Amen. So, if you think you that good and you that big, Paul said this. Wherefore, let him that think he stand what? Do what? Take heed. The strongest sheep, the fattest one in the flock here at Highland Heights can go down first. Don't forget that. I don't want to be put up on no pedestal. Amen. I don't want that. I'm not going to let myself get there either.
Then he closed the last part of this verse. He leading me in the path of what?
Righteousness.
Why?
For his name's
sake. The sheep are creatures of habit. If the shepherd leaves it up to them, they would eat in the same spot over and over until it turns to waste, or where they would, you know, use the bathroom on it. And then they would make them sick because they were eating the same spot over and over and over. So and that would eventually build up parasites in them, and the sheep, the diseases and other things would come to them and kill them. But we are creatures of habit. Without Jesus, our great shepherd, he leading us in the path of what? Righteousness. We will go back to doing the same old sins over and over and over.
Amen.
If we don't follow righteousness.
Yeah, righteousness.
How do you follow righteousness? Well, y'all been listening, Brother Stroud, teach you Wednesday night. Well, how do we follow righteousness? Here it is. Huh? You gotta follow the word. This word leads you in that path of righteousness. Our shepherd, Jesus Christ, has a name. Let me say, for his name's sake. He has a name among this world, and he said, you live because of my name. You live right. Now, you can bring shame on Christ and his church. As sheep, we glorify his name by living righteous.
Amen.
So what's the first three verses? That's the end of it. The Lord is my what? I shall not. So I should not be worrying.
Amen.
Number one. Number two. He making me.
Lie down in green.
So you ought to be at peace with God and yourself.
That's it.
Means yourself. And you should be able to rest knowing it's going to be all right. Because the Lord is in control. Number three. He restored my what? When you get down, he can get you back up.
Amen.
He give you everything to make you okay. And then he leaded me. If we follow his word, we'll stay on the path of what?
Right.
Got it. That's the three things you should got. We'll pick up next three verses next week. How y'all like that?
Amen.
Now you notice I did a lot of reading because I had to do some detailed stuff to get this. So, you know, go back and take notes and read it. And take notes and study what I said. Go back and recap it. Because it'll bless your life if you learn to take the word and meditate.
Amen.
Meditate on his word. What? Day and night. There you go. Now, what is the question this morning? Is the Lord your shepherd? If you're on the call, if you're listening, or you're on Facebook Live, or you're YouTubing, is the Lord your shepherd? He said, Brother Brooks, how do I become a sheep? You already one, but in the making. But you can be a goat too, you know. Let's see it in a positive way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be a goat on the day of judgment. So how do you do it, Brother Brooks? What do I do? Well, you got to select the shepherd first. How do you do that? Know that when he came, he was a good shepherd. Then he died on the cross. He became what?
The great
shepherd. And that shepherd became the great shepherd because God loved us. He gave his son. His son gave his life. He was brutally beaten. He was mocked. He was spit upon. Yet he was hung between two thieves with nails in his hand and nails on his feet. He hung on that cross 6 long hours to give us what we needed to graze in his pasture. Amen, somebody. Yeah, he died on the cross. And when he died, he was buried. He resurrected as the great shepherd. And then the great shepherd gave the command. He said, go into the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth in his what? Baptized shall be saved. So you must hear that death, burial, and resurrection story. You must believe it with all your heart. You must repent of your sins. Confess Jesus to be the Son of God. Then you must be baptized. Why? For the remission of your sins. In water, and in the water you contact the blood of the shepherd, and the blood will wash away your sins, and then the Lord will add you to the pastor, and that is the church of Christ.
Amen.
That's the only place you can be saved. The only place of safety for the sheep is in the church. And you can't join the church of Christ. The Lord has to put you in there.
Amen.
He'd only put you in there when you obey him as your shepherd. And he's calling you there. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. And maybe somebody here today who's a member of the Lord's church, you have fallen. You got on your back. You're ready to get up, repent, restore, and come back home. How do you do that, brother? By confessing your fault. The Bible said, confess your fault one to what? Another. Pray for one another. Reciprocal. It's for each other. We do it for each other. We confess to each other. We repent. We ask God to help us. We pray for each other. Amen. And if you want that, you want to do that. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, oh sinner.
Yes.
Come home. Wouldn't you come as we sing the song of encouragement and let the Lord be your shepherd.
Amen.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portal, he waiting and watching, watching for you and for me.
When you come this morning, come to the Lord, let him be your shepherd. Come home.
Come home.
Ye who are weary.
Ye who are weary.
Come home.
Come home.
Earnestly, tenderly.
Earnestly, tenderly.
Jesus
is calling.
He's calling. Can you hear him?
Calling.
Oh, sinner.
Oh, sinner.
Come home.
Come.